Here. I have to repeat this now. We are live in the Kalani Moku BLNR boardroom in Honolulu. Those who wish to testify live can do so at this boardroom. Please let our board secretary know what item you wish to testify on. You can email her at blnr.testimony@hawaii.gov. If you have signed up to present or testify via Zoom, you will be in the waiting room until your agenda item is called, when you will be led into the main Zoom meeting room. Please remember to keep your audio and video off until you are called on to speak. Also, please remember to turn off your YouTube when you are in the main Zoom meeting, or we will get an echo. Please do not use the chat for any comments because that presents a sunshine issue. People may also testify via telephone at the number posted online. Please text or email our board secretary your name and the agenda item so we can call on you for that item. Members of the public may also watch the meeting on YouTube. We ask that members of the public testifying on agenda items limit your testimony to 3 minutes so that we can get to everyone. We also ask that you turn on your video when you're testifying, though it is not required. For COVID protection, we prefer that people who are waiting in the boardroom to speak wear your masks. We will now read the standard contested case statement. If I can ask Member Canto to do so.
Sure. In some of the matters before the board, a person may wish to request a contested case hearing. If such a request is made before the board's decision, then the board will consider the request first before considering the merits of the item before it. A person who wants a contested case may also wait until the board decides the issue, then request a contested case after the decision. It is up to you. Any request must be made in writing within 10 days. If no request for contested case is made, the board will make a decision. The department will treat the decision as final and proceed accordingly.
Thank you, Member Canto. I will now take a roll call of board members. Please state your name, and if you are participating remotely, which is should be none of us, please state whether anyone is in the room with you. I'll start to my left with Member Smith.
Present.
Member Barnes.
Present.
Vernon Char.
Present.
Member Canto.
Present.
Member Ono.
Present.
And I am Kaivi, and I'm in the boardroom present. Okay, at this time, we're going to hear agenda item A. We have a move up item D5 for scheduling purposes. Then we'll hear all the M items, the D items, and then the J items. At this time, approval of the board meeting minutes held on June 24, 2022. I have a motion to approve.
So moved, Chair.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, for roll call, that's Member Smith, Member Barnes, Member Char, Member Canto, Member Ono, and Yoon. Thank you.
Crazy. I wasn't on the board then. I should have
seen. Oh, that's right. Correction. Member Smith was not yet on the board and is not voting on the minutes. Okay. We'll move on to item number D5.
Okay. Good morning, board members. Russell Tsuji for Land Division. D5, we're presenting a request for a right of entry to Kapono Partners LLC to perform an AIS, Archaeological Inventory Survey, on some state lands in the Kihei area. For purposes, their objective at the long term is to do a beach nourishment project in the area. But right now, all they're asking for is a right of entry in order to perform the AIS. Apparently, the area is known to have had a history of archaeological sites. I believe the applicant and my staff is also available if you have any questions.
Board members, any comments or questions of staff?
Sir, you have the applicant present? Okay.
I think so.
Darling?
Yep. Please state your name and then for the record.
Good
Good morning. My name is Chris Sugidono with Munakio Haraga on behalf of the applicant, Kupono Partners. We also have Mike Dega, SCS, who's doing the archaeology for our project. So, as Suji spoke about, this is simply to do the AIS assessment work that will be planned later. So, right now, today, we're just here for new data gathering in preparation for the small scale beach nourishment.
So, Mr. Degar, I remember you working with Waiahuli when we first, you were the person, the go-to person when Waiahuli was built.
Oh, DHHL.
Yes.
Thank you. Those were fun days.
Nice to see you. Did you want to speak on this for us?
I'm just here in case you have any questions about the archaeological inventory survey.
I
did write the plan, which was accepted by the State Historic Preservation Division in March of 2022. So if you have any questions about the archaeology or what we're going to do, I'm here for that.
The proposed work wouldn't have any adverse impact to the findings, right? Or the
I think Mr. Day can kind of speak to it, but I mean, my understanding is, you know, in that area, we've had a lot of wind-blown sand,
mm-hmm.
and that right by the NOAA sanctuary, and the area has, you know, kind of filled up with sand. And so the SSBN is sort of one of the conditions, one of our SMA conditions that to basically take a lot of that windblown sand, which is, I think, only a couple years old, if that, and move that to replenish the Kalepalopo Beach area. So, you know, I think Mike has been talking to Shipti about that, and I know that they're, you know, they've communicated essentially that, you know, their concern isn't so much that sand that needs to, that the county is requesting as to locate.
Sure, I'd like to make a recommendation to say I want to accept staff's recommendation regarding.
Have a second?
Second.
Is all in favor? Say aye.
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 That is unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you all. Okay, at this time we'll move to the M item. Hey, good morning, Abby. How are you? You're on mute.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we're here, items M1 through 3. There's no testimony. Board members, do you have any questions on M1, 2, and 3?
Just a question on M1.
Okay.
Mr. I just had a question on M1, just to clarify, so this is a new fuel storage tank that is going in. There's not an existing tank there.
There is not an existing tank there on the airport. This specific one is a personal tank. It's not to service the airport. It's specifically just to service the tenant, Pacific Flight Academy. But we do not have a self-storage fuel station at Honolulu or Daniel K. Inouye International Airport.
Okay, and this is in as the submission suggests, this is an above-ground tank, correct?
Yes, it will be. Okay. It's not there yet, but that's the intent.
Okay. And do you know what the total volume capacity is of the tank?
No, this property is used to belong to somebody who had a self-storage fuel tank that serviced the airport. And so this location seemed befitting, you know, for anyone who wanted to do it, but nobody seems to want to do it as a business. They just want it to be self-service. I haven't received the specifics yet of the size of the tank that will be coming in.
Okay. Do you have a sense of even like in a ballpark range? I don't know anything about these kinds of tanks. So like what roughly we're talking about?
Previously, it was a large tank, 10,000. But this is specific to their operations and they're a flight school. So I would imagine that it would be half the size of that, much okay. smaller.
And are there like hazard or other like environmental remediation requirements or procedures?
Yes.
They will be expected to meet? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we will be adding all kinds of environmental requirements and also requirements for fuel facilities in general. The tanks will be inspected by our fire chief, will be inspected by our environmental specialists. So we'll be going through, before this tank is even put onto the site, plans will be submitted and routed to all of the different sections of DOT for our review and our approval.
Okay, and then how frequently do those inspections occur, do you know?
I don't know how frequently the fire inspections are. I'm assuming that the inspections are done at least once a year, but I know our environmental sections does quarterly inspections of the all of our premises.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from board members? A motion to approve items M1 through 3.
Move.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous. Okay, thank you, Abby. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Olivia, D4. Olivia, can you please turn on your camera if it's working so that
Sorry, I don't have a camera. My computer doesn't have a camera. Sorry.
Bummer.
Same with Derek. Sorry, we'll ask our department.
What's going on? Okay, sorry, Olivia. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm here to answer any questions about item M4 and I think it's M5, yeah.
Okay, or Jennifer?
Okay. Yeah, Jennifer's not here, so I'll answer any questions for her item.
Okay, board members, any questions? For items M4 and M5. Hearing none. Motion
to approve.
Second. Anyone?
Smith. Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 That is unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please get a camera.
Thank you.
Okay. DOT Harbors, Derek.
Yep. M4. Here for any questions on M6.
Okay, any questions, board members? Hearing none, motion to approve M6.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Right.
That is unanimous. Thank you very much, Derek. Have a good weekend.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, highways. Oh, look, Scott's got a camera. Okay. Hey, Scott.
That's the one that was deferred last meeting, and there were questions. So.
All right. Scott, can you hear us? Well, see, we can see him, buddy. Scott?
His earbuds aren't working.
Yeah.
Let me email him.
Okay.
Oh. We can't hear you.
We can't hear him.
We can't hear you.
Can't hear you, Scott.
There we go. There you go.
Okay, you're on mute now, Scott. You're on mute.
Lower left-hand corner, like the red microphone.
Something like that.
There, sorry. It muted me again.
Okay. Hey, hi, Scott.
Sorry.
We did it.
What a Friday, huh?
Yes.
Okay, D7.
Yes, M7. Any questions?
Oh, sorry, M7.
No, M7.
I had a, I think these were my questions from last meeting. Scott, I had just had a question, so... We know that in the last meeting that this was flagged as ceded land.
Hold on. Scott, can you turn off your YouTube?
Yes. Please? Yes, I did.
Okay, Memo Box.
Okay.
Right, go ahead.
So the questions that we had at the last meeting were just around compensation for this. Related to the ceded land status?
Yes. It is ceded land. It's a roadway that was noted on the land patent grant and the land commission awards, and the royal patent. So it is a portion of an old government roadway. And I did notify OHA if they had any concerns about the sale of the land. I have their email and it does say they do not object to the sale or argue that the sale must follow HRS section 171.64-7.7. So I did inform OHA, they did give us their blessings to go ahead with their sale, with this sale. But because it is ceded land, 30% will be set aside to be sent over towards OHA.
Okay. And do we know how much, can you share how much the total sale value is and then what that 30% amount is there?
I do have it, but I don't know it offhand.
You know, an order of magnitude, like dollar?
Roughly, I think it was appraised at about $5,000. So the 30% of that $5,000. About 450.
Okay. Those are all my questions.
Okay, great. Board members, any other questions for Scott? Okay, I'll hear a motion to approve staff submittal for M7.
Good second.
All in favor say aye.
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 That is unanimous. Thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you so much. You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll move on to the D item. D1.
Okay, good morning, board members. Again, Russell Tsuji. D1 is requesting a consent to an assignment of lease out at, or a parcel out at Kikalo Keakea from Andrea Jocelyn Kawaloa to Jocelyn Kawaloa, sorry, Casco. I don't have anything to add to this parcel, to this submittal.
Board members, any questions for staff?
Please.
Yep.
Hello, Russell. I had a question. So when I looked at the packet information, and I saw the photo that's in there. So when these lands were provided for the folks that were impacted by the lava flow, there was no requirement that they occupy or improve the property?
They were supposed to build a home on the structure, on the site, yes. The intent of the lease. I don't know if it had a time requirement, but it definitely required them to build a home. A lot of them had problems first off obtaining or paying for fire insurance in this area, which is a requirement of the lease, or even trying to build a structure and take out a mortgage. Yeah. So a lot of the parcels yes, admittedly, maybe may not have structures on them at this time. But part of it is a fact that the location that was selected by the legislature when they passed this legislation just happened to be in a lava zone. And that kind of initially created a lot of problems on the insurance requirements. Yeah. You know, we were trying to get everybody up to date on insurance. And we finally, I think we did solve that issue. And the next issue now is building the structures. The problem with this legislation is that by the time it was passed, many people have moved on and relocated. And so really we're talking about the descendants of the parties affected by the original lava flow, yeah. And trying to have them build structures or homes out in this area.
Thank you very much. You know, I'm aware of this project and the intent to provide residential agricultural lots for those impacted by the prior lava flow. I understand it's also in a catchment area, so fire protection is complicated. Appreciate the department doing this. I know it's just complicated for people to be able to utilize it because of the lack of infrastructure, but thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Board members, any other questions?
I
Member Canto?
One quick question for Russell. So the fact that there's no bond requirement for this lease, is that normal or is that?
I would not say it's normal. This lease, these leases were, I think that the division in this span before I even started here was initially evaluated as legislation to support a unique group on the affected by a disaster up in the Big Island. So I think their leases were drafted in a manner that was not normally what you would see from a DLL. You know, so there was no bond requirement apparently, like in this one, like you pointed out. You know. The rent also was discounted.
Thank you, Russell.
Board members,
maybe one follow-up to Member Canto's question. Russell, but that there is no bond requirement then for all of the grantees or just this?
No, I believe it would have been at least to the group of lessees that came out on the first increment. There, if I recall, Kalakeakea had two groups. I believe so the lease form was set for group number one, and then I think several years later they went out on number two, and I think the lease form may have been a little different in that. But I believe in this case. So why were there two groups? I mean, there were initially. After we did the first drawing, there were still some vacant lots remaining. And the state had actually put in some money in infrastructure in that area. So it didn't want the land to, you know, really go to waste. It wanted to make use of and try to utilize the lots. And so it did a second drawing. And I think in the second one was a little bit more stringent requirements in that one. But here we're talking about the first increment, I believe.
Okay, so this is from the first group.
Yeah, yes. That's my recollection, board member. I just remember two different groups, two different drawings.
Yeah. Other questions from board members? There's no public testimony on this one. I have a motion to approve staff submittal for our D1.
Mr. Smith, I move that we approve as recommended by staff.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That is unanimous. Move on to D2.
Yeah, D2, board members, we brought before the board what we think we needed to do. And I have Kevin Moore here available to answer any questions on this one. We noticed on this D2 on our country club RFQ RFP, we had language that would have allowed the Department of Railway improvements, and i.e. the intent was when we drafted that into the RFQ RFP was that we would be issuing a ground lease, a typical ground lease where the improvements are owned by the tenant. Kevin, you know, kind of reminded me that we had discussions with the AG and they kind of questioned about the legality of the state selling the improvements on the, that is tied to the land, and that arguably that might be considered a sale of real estate, or i.e. a fixture of to real estate. To simplify matters, we just thought, without getting into all the legal analysis that goes along with that kind of thought, we thought we'd just strike the authorization to sell the improvements. And in the end of the day, what does that mean? We'll be doing an RFQ, RFP for the land and building, and that the lease would be for land and building, and they would pay for land and building, whatever remains, whatever the value of that building is. Of course, we all know Country Club needs to be refurbished significantly and renovated, but that's what we would start with. And that's what we have before the board, just to fix up this part of the RFQ, RFP so we can go out and do the publication. Kevin, if you have anything to add, feel free to do so.
No, I have nothing to add. That's pretty straightforward.
Hey, Russell, the AG opined and agreed with the course of action?
On this today, this morning, about striking, we didn't specifically go back to ask them on that one. When we're going out and just about ready to publish our Country Club RFQ, RFP, we realized a document contained the provision that the department would potentially be selling the improvements. And that's when we realized, oh, we had this prior discussion with AGs that they called into question our ability to do so. I think, you know, as most lawyers would know, it's arguable on both sides, but still, to avoid the complication that could arise and the delay and the urgency that we wanted to get Country Club out on the market, we just thought we'd strike it and go forward with the RFQ, RFP, if this board is so inclined to agree with us.
Okay. Board members, any other questions, comments? Smith.
Yeah, Commissioner Smith, just wanted to make a couple comments. Russell, thank you and your staff for providing and clarifying this information. You know, as a resident of Hawaii Island, I received feedback from various individuals in the East Hawaii community, and they just wanted me to remind the staff about some of the struggling buildings that exist along Banyan Drive and the increased need for police, homelessness, monitoring, as well as drug use. So I'm hoping that through this process of your RFP that you're able to find a suitable lessee who can address those deferred maintenance and other issues that tend to cost the community and the police department resources. So just wanted to mention that. I did that the last time this item came around. It hasn't changed, so I just want to identify that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Board Member.
There's no public testimony on this item. Do I have
one?
Oh, I'm sorry, Member Barnes.
Question. Russell, I just had a question about, I think that what the staff recommendation here makes sense. My question is just, if you could maybe provide a little bit of background for items like this where there is a significant improvement like a hotel on a piece of property and it is changing hands. My understanding is that generally speaking, the requirement is that the prior lessee remove the improvements. How does that bear out in practice in an instance like this where the improvements are so significant that does not necessarily make sense? Is it that they are required to remove them upon the request of the board or the department? Or, yeah, just a little bit of context would be really
just
helpful.
So, yeah, sure. Thank you. Our current standard lease form provides that the board has the discretion at the end of the term to either have the improvements remain on the site and it's the state would take over the improvements at the end of the term, or the or elect to have the lessee remove that before the end of the term. Many of these older leases like Country Club, as well as Uncle Billy's, was silent. Without that reservation in favor of the landlord, the state was not able to take the position that it had that discretion to order the removal. In this case, the Country Club, we had various studies, and I think, I'm not sure if we mentioned it in this submittal, but definitely in the prior submittals, where we studied the building and it had a very limited term useful life. And it's, frankly, it's pretty much at its useful life. It needs significant renovations and improvements, the details of which maybe Kevin can assist on explaining. But and that is why the purpose of this RFQ, RFP is to go back out and to solicit a lessee slash developer willing to put in the necessary improvements in exchange for a long-term ground lease or lease in order to amortize the cost of those improvements over the long term. That's really the intent of this particular lease, as distinguished from other kind of leases where you actually have a ongoing business with term remaining on the lease and they try to sell the lease to someone else for money and consideration and profit. In that scenario, the state reserves a what we call an assignment premium that we may assess or the board may assess in taking a share of the consideration paid for the assignment of the lease and improvements, which is the remaining term on those leases. But for example, a lot of those leases may be only 10 years, or they may, let's say they got a 40-year extension, which a lot of leases are coming up for right now. A 40-year extension, in the next 10 or 5 years, they decide they want to flip it and sell it. There's 30 years remaining on those leases, so there's value there. And the state would reserve a right to share in those proceeds. But in this case, what we have before this morning is more of a situation like what board member Riley Smith was discussing, was in a situation where the building is kind of dilapidated. It's habitable. People are living there. It's not like condemned or anything like that, but it needs significant improvements in order to maintain habitability, we should say. And hopefully we're hoping to improve the area construction of improvements. Yeah.
Thank you.
Russell, wasn't this the one that was deemed structurally compromised?
Uncle Billy's was.
Oh,
Kevin, this one, Kevin, this one was not, right, if I recall.
So good morning, Kevin Moore, Land Division. Actually, for Country Club, the architectural review, which included structural engineer among the consultants who looked at it, the first recommendation was to tear down, but the second recommendation was to renovate, noting that there would be a lot of issues in doing that to bring it into compliance with county code. So that's, we've made a lot of disclosures in the RFQ, RFP to check with the county about what's going to be required to do a renovation of the building.
Okay, but demolition, is demolition still an option for the successful candidate?
I think we've left it open. The thing about demolition and rebuilding is it's probably going to trigger a further environmental review, EA or EIS, whereas a renovation is exempt.
Yeah, but structural costs may drive that, you know, to remediate that structural damage. I mean, that's get eaten alive in your structural repairs. So I'm not sure what the extent is, but okay. So it's open then, Kevin. The developer or bidder can decide, right?
I think if we had a developer come in and say, I don't want to renovate, but I'm willing to tear down and rebuild, that we would we would, you know, that would definitely be considered and brought to the board.
Okay. Board members, any other questions?
One other question on the comments from the Department of Environmental Management about the delinquent sewer fees.
So the sewer fees, that's based on some kind of outdated information. They may have been brought current. What happened is we were trying to get this back to the board for action quickly because our current permit holder on the property said that they couldn't continue to operate it under month-to-month permit past December of this year. And so we didn't really have time to go back and get additional comments to see if those had been paid off. I think I've heard the permittee say that they've taken care of these delinquencies, but I'm not 100% sure, and it's definitely a due diligence item for anybody interested in submitting an application under RFP.
Okay, yeah, and just to clarify, anybody submitting an application, would they then assume the delinquencies, or how would that work?
It's really on the applicants, you know, it's going to be their obligation to go and check that out to make sure they're not inheriting a liability.
Other questions, board members? Public testimony. Do I have a motion to approve staff submittal for item D2?
Commissioner Smith, I move that we approve the recommendation made by staff.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That is unanimous. Thank you very much. We'll move on to D3.
Okay. D3 is coming back to the board to request an amendment of a prior grant of a perpetual non-exclusive easement. And this relates to a housing development out in the Coloco area. And there happens to be a significant, I guess they call it trail or sea to the trail, the sea trail. And they had previously the board and the developer had agreed on a specific location for the easements. However, a recent study indicated that it may have the selected areas might have significant concerns from the archaeological standpoint. And so the proposal this morning is to relocate the two crossings of this trail to a slightly different area, which we understand SHPD has reviewed and has been okay with the relocated crossings. And so that what we had before you is the approval to relocate the two crossings of this trail. The background on the project proponent is it is an affordable housing project. So, you know, the state has a significant interest in seeing the success of that project. I understand it recently received the HHFDC award for tax credits, and so therefore it does receive the state support. As to any specifics, I believe the applicant is probably here. It should be here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Any questions for staff? Ms. Smith?
No, I just wanted to make a statement. I've known the applicant, Keith Cotto, for about 25 to 30 years since I've been living on Hawaii Island. I understand what his organization does. Also want to disclose that the company I work for, Lanihau Properties, we own the land in the Ahupua of Honokoha, which is about 2 miles away, but I do not perceive that any of those issues will be a conflict, and I'm happy to support this affordable housing project in West Hawaii.
Member Smith, any other questions or comments? I have a question. Russell, was the original trail ever determined to be historically significant?
I'm not sure.
Where the original development was scheduled, that portion of the trail, was that determined to be historically significant?
At the time they decided where they wanted to put the crossings? I don't believe so. My understanding was that the study came out later and it was determined at a later point. I think, you know, when they, I'm not sure to what kind of studies the developer did at the time it actually selected the original locations. Right now, what we're asking the board is the one that SHPD was willing to proceed with, which is for this affordable housing project. There are other crossings that was approved previously by the board that we have not brought for relocation yet to the board because they're still pending review of SHPD. Yeah, but whether or not at the time they when they decided when they wanted the original location, whether they it was found to be significant, my understanding is no. I thought the my understanding was a study came much later, but I may be wrong. I believe the individuals are here if they can correct me if I'm. But my knowledge of this project is limited to this submittal. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Russell. If there are no questions for staff, sir, would you like to testify or provide any testimony?
Morning. My name is Keith Cotto. I'm Executive Director of Hawaii Island Community Development Corporation. We acquired this 10-acre portion of this much larger parcel to do an affordable housing project. We secured financing from HHSDC to do the project. And we have it's a 100 units of family project, so 2 and 3 bedroom apartments. We have secured rental assistance for 3/4 of the apartments, so it'll be extremely affordable, you know, for the tenants. We're basically all set to go. We need to get this right-of-way issue clarified. What happened was there's a trail alignment that is shown on the tax maps that it actually extends way beyond our property or even the RCFC's property. It's like further Mauka, and then it runs all the way down to Queen K Highway. So when the original developer, I think it was Stanford Carr at the time, you know, came in and to do a deal with the issue of the trail crossings. They had a master plan that was laid out and it showed 4 crossings over this trail. None of the crossings that were shown at that time involved our parcel. We ended up securing the bottommost piece down there, and it's really because that's the easiest to develop. You know, it's got a lot of slope, but it's a lot less slope than the rest of the property. So when we laid it out, you know, we are basically running up like a north-south orientation on the parcel. So it runs like parallel with the contours, and the trail goes Mauka Makai. It cuts across the parcel, and so we really won't be able to utilize it unless we can cross, at least in one spot. And so that's what we're proposing. 8-foot wide area where we'd basically improve it, you might say, with I don't know if you call it an improvement, but we're going to have a parking area, driveway, curb, sidewalks, that sort of thing.
Members, any questions for Mr. Cotto? Yes.
Katie, I just want to make a comment. So in our packets, Exhibit D is a letter from State Historic Preservation Division. So Susan Coons, the administrator at Housing Community Development, as well as Mr. Cotto, and it explains what Shifty has approved as far as enabling them to relocate this easement. I think that addresses the concerns you raised.
Any other questions or comments? So, Keith, you said HHFDC financing. Any LIHTC?
Yes.
Part of this? Okay.
There's LIHTC, there's bonds, yeah, as well as rental housing revolving fund loan.
Okay. Great. Well, congratulations. I know that can be quite difficult to coordinate, so that's why I asked the question.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. There is no public testimony other than what we heard. Do I have a motion to approve the staff submittal for item D3?
Commissioner Smith, I move that we approve the staff recommendation for item D3.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. That is unanimous. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much.
Cotto.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, item D4.
D4, board members, is a request from Hana Health asking for the board's consent to place an additional lien or a federal interest lien on the property. It has been in the planning stages and works for improving this health facility out in the Hana area for a number of years, and we've come back a number of times. Hopefully this is the last time, but this apparently the construction cost keeps increasing, and so but they are at least have the wherewithal to obtain the financing from these federal interests, federal grants, or mortgages, as you might call it. And so the request is to amend the lease as well as to provide for the financing and the lien to attach, as well as to consent to this federal interest. If you have any questions, I believe the applicant's counsel is here, Ms. Pamela Bunn, and my staff should be available.
Okay, any questions for staff? Member Cantle.
I don't have a question for staff, but I do want to offer a disclosure that in 2016, I worked for a company that pursued the permitting for Hana Health. And that was successful, obviously, and I just want to also make a statement that I will be able to make a unbiased decision on the vote. So, thank you.
Any other questions or comments from board members of staff? Okay, Ms. Bunn.
Good morning, board members. Ms. Vasconcelos couldn't be here today, but I have authority to pull her out of a meeting if any of you have any questions for her. Essentially, we're here because of pretty good news. I think the first time we were before the board back in 2015, and I don't think anybody I see was there at the time, we were on a wing and a prayer applying for a $1 million grant from HRSA. Didn't think we were going to get it, but thought politics were going to be changing such that it might be now or never. Turns out we did get it. It was just for construction. $1 million wasn't going to construct the building. So Hana Health has been diligently working to raise funds through other grants, other appropriations. The last time we were here was 6 months ago in March, where we needed consent to a mortgage to close the gap. It's going to cost roughly $6 million to complete this building. They had raised four. You graciously consented to allow us to put a mortgage on our leasehold interest to raise the other two. Now, the good news is that we have gotten another federal grant, and this was an earmark, and we now need another federal interest. So every time you get funds from HRSA, you have to record a federal interest that basically has three obligations in it. One is that the building will only be used for purposes consistent with the statute and regulations under the program that made the grant. The second one is that you can't mortgage without the express consent of HRSA. And the third is that you can't sell or transfer an interest in the property without the consent of HRSA. The additional notice of federal interest doesn't change those obligations at all. It's the same obligations. There will be a $2 million federal interest instead of a $1 million federal interest, but this is not something that, you know, can be enforced by foreclosure. It's the same obligations no matter how large the interest is. It's just that we need to record another interest before we can access the funds. Accessing the funds will allow us to pay down substantially the mortgage you approved last time we were here. So that's one part of the request, is for a consent to record another federal interest. And it would be substantially in the form that is attached as Exhibit 6 to the staff submittal. Exhibit 6 is really just, I had my assistant, you know, take the old one, convert it to Word, take out the text, and I put in the additional text highlighted so you can see what the difference would be. It, again, doesn't change the obligations. Its duration is consistent with the duration of the lease term. It won't extend any further than the term of the lease. So that's part one. The second part was that we need to amend the lease in order to record this federal interest. And the reason is because the prior amendment of the lease that we did was so very specific. It authorized a federal interest associated with a grant from the HIIP program of HRSA, and this grant is coming from a different program of HRSA. So in taking a look at it, what we would like to do is amend the lease so that we can attach a lien with the prior written consent of DLNR, BLNR, whichever is the lessor. That way, all we would need is the consent and we wouldn't have to amend the lease every time we do this. And in connection with that review, we would like to have the same or an amendment for similar reasons for the provision of the lease that deals with mortgages. It seems like we're, well, I don't know, but the last time the lease was amended, it was for a very specific mortgage for the rehabilitation center. I can envision in the future that maybe Hana Health wants to build something else for a community benefit and to better serve the Hana community. And yes, absolutely, we would need to come before the board for consent to the mortgage, but it would be good if we didn't have to amend the lease as well. So that's basically the two parts of the request are for the consent to record a notice of federal interest and for the amendments to the lease.
So. Thank you, Ms. Budd. Any questions or comments from board members?
Just a comment, Chair. So thank you. Thank you for that detailed explanation. It makes it a little easier to understand the movement. But Chair, I'll be voting to support the staff recommendation.
Thank you. Any other board members, questions or comments?
Can I ask a quick question about, and I don't know if this is the right way to think about it, but this new federal funding, is that being used to pay off the, I think you mentioned earlier, in part to pay off part of the mortgage that was taken previously?
Yes, the federal funding in this grant is for construction. We had to borrow money for construction, and that's why we took the mortgage. And so it will go to pay that down. I mean, it's fungible. We still have a ways to go to complete the building, but some of it will pay down the mortgage, yes.
And is the federal debt senior to that mortgage, or is that not?
No, it's not. In connection, I think one of the conditions was we needed express written consent from HRSA for the mortgage. And the form of that consent is that HRSA subordinated its interest to the interests of the lender. Now, since the loan is already in place, the new federal interest is junior to the loan automatically.
Okay. Thank you.
One of the reasons, board members, that you're seeing this come before you, unlike other nonprofits, our nonprofit lease standard form does not allow for mortgaging of the property. Typically, most nonprofits do not mortgage the real estate. In this particular case, the Hana Health Center have been doing so because of the improvements and funding it needed to raise and the kind of source of funding it was acquiring, which required the liens to be attached, i.e. the major mortgage. I mean, we just had the example of food bank here in Mapunapuna. The difference between that one and here is this particular parcel did not really have the infrastructure or the building necessary to house its operation. The food bank, on the other hand, leased a finished building. And so that was the difference. And so they didn't need to mortgage or obtain grants to build a structure to house their operation. I just wanted to point that out, that the reason she's amending here and all this stuff about the liens and the mortgages is because typically our nonprofit lease standard form, nominal rent, does not allow for mortgage, period. And that's why they're asking for the ability to mortgage as well as to attach liens to the property with the board's consent.
Thank you, Russell.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? You know, Ms. Bunn, I don't know who or what happened in 2015, who was on the board or what had happened, but if there, you know, if there's an example of a rare silver lining post-COVID or because of COVID, this would be one of them. I mean, sometimes it's, if not always, it's about the timing, right? And the right time and the right reason. And I'm personally relieved and inspired by your ability now to provide increased health benefits for the Hana community, which is predominantly Native Hawaiian. So I am, again, relieved and inspired that we are here, and please know that this is the BLNR 2022, not 2015. Okay, if there are no other questions or comments, do I have a motion to approve staff submittal?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous. Thank you, Ms. Bunn. Thank you, Russell. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody need a break?
Yep.
Yeah? Okay, we're going to take a 5-minute break.
We got D6. You want to do that?
Oh, sorry. Let's do D6, and then I got a note from one of the board members to take a break, so but we'll push on. If okay, we'll push on item D6.
D6 is a request for right of entry for Waikiki Beach activities out at the Dukanamoku Beach area. I don't have anything to add on this submittal, except I wanted to ask the board if we could amend the recommendation section just for clarity. And it really is to be consistent with our administrative rules and departmental policy here. I just wanted to add recommendation 3 and 4. Number 3, to make clear that there shall be no pre-setting or of beach chairs or umbrellas on the beach. And number 4, no commercial activity. And those will be consistent with our administrative rules. I just wanted to make it clear here on this right of entry permit for beach activity.
Can you, when you say no commercial activities, Russell, can you
without the board's approval, other than what is approved by the board, yeah. So what we're approving here is, I guess, what we describe here in this right of entry is they're going to be utilizing a certain amount of square feet and to put up a 10x10 tent, and I believe they're going to. Within that 10x10 tent, I believe my understanding is they're going to be providing beach towel services, and that's all. No food or beverages will be allowed on the beach, and no other commercial activities will be on the beach. I'm just adding these requirements because sometimes there's some confusion as to whether, because they got this right of entry from the board, they might be allowed, maybe in their interpretation, to be doing some activities which was never the intent of the board or staff in approving the right of entry. I'm sorry, did
Russell,
I answer your question, Ms. Kanto?
Yeah. Yep, I'm good. Thank you.
Russell, can I ask, is this affiliated with a hotel? I know it says that it's being used in relation to a corporate event.
I believe so. WBA works out of the Hilton Hawaiian Village Hotel. And my understanding is whenever they are approaching us for rights of entry in the Dukanamoku Beach area, it is in connection with, I guess, guests at the hotel. Whether it's officially part of the hotel, I'm not exactly clear on the relationship. But they are, my understanding is they work inside the Hilton and we work for Hilton, yes. WBA, I'm not sure if Bob Hampton is available or any of the representatives available for any questions.
Aloha, board. This is Mike Murray, and I work for Waikiki Beach Activities. Yes, I'm on the line.
Yeah, she asked this. This was related to the Hilton Hawaiian Village.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that part. Yes, it is. It's an association group that's staying at the hotel that is at the hotel. They're staying there.
Okay. And so, yeah, Mr. Murray, my question was just, you're doing this essentially as a contractor for the Hilton? Or what's the relationship with?
That's correct.
Board members, any questions for staff and or Mr. Murray? If none, do I have a motion to approve the staff submittal as submitted, as amended by staff?
I'll motion just with the caveat that I do have some concerns about allowing for these sorts of uses on our public beaches. I know, Russell, that you said no chairs will be placed, but there is, my understanding is there will be the tent, and I think it does blur the line for beachgoers about whether and how the property is used, whether it's public property, whether it's private property, and whether they have access to it. So I'll move to approve this with that just concern and reservation noted for future votes.
With the staff amendments, correct?
With the staff amendments, yes.
Okay.
Second motion.
Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. That is unanimous. Thank you very much, Russell, Mr. Murray.
Okay, thank you.
Now we'll take a break. Take a 5-minute break. We'll convene about 10:30.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think it's part of that whole I went out with Barry.
Okay, go.
Daniel, if you can hear us.
Daniel, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Nice shirt, by the way, Daniel.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll gavel us back in. We just have the J items remaining. We'll start with agenda item J1.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, board members. Richard Howard for Boating. J1 is a continuation of the revocable permit for the parking concession over at the Alawai Small Boat Harbor. The RP is issued to Secure Parking LLC. Act 163 was enacted on June 27th of this year, and it exempts parking lot operations at small boat harbors from the requirements contained in HRS 102. Staff intends to post a request for interest and qualify or select a parking vendor from those respondents. But in the meantime, we do need to renew the revocable permit to give us time to do that.
Okay. Board members, any questions? Richard, how are the revenues looking?
Yeah, the revenues have bounced back. Actually, I think we're doing better than we were pre-COVID. So it's a good property, and I think it can generate a lot of interest if we put up request for interest.
Good to hear. And how's the local to visitor kind of, you know, issues? Are they still tense or?
Well, I think we're okay with the parking, the free parking, and we haven't heard too many issues about any conflicts.
Okay, great, good to hear. Okay,
how does this relate to the broader sort of strategic planning around the Alawai Small Boat Harbor that's also underway?
Yeah, so. When we do negotiate the contract, we'll put in a cancellation clause that, you know, when we do select a developer for, you know, for the RFP, this contract will be cancelable. And so, you know, it's kind of an interim arrangement, you know, until we get the RFP finished.
Okay, and what's the time frame then for the finishing that RFP and then having that bid on? I mean, realistically, somebody who's looking at this, how long would they be looking at?
I think we're looking at least or several months. You know, we're going through the old RFP now. We're updating it. You know, we have to it gets assigned to in the Department of the Attorney General to review it. You know, we'll have to work everything through, and then we'll publish. So it's going to be several months before I think we even publish. And then, you know, we have the process from there.
Thank you.
Board members, any other questions? No public testimony. If no other questions, do I have a motion to approve staff submittal for J1?
Move to approve.
Commissioner Smith, second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous. Thank you very much. J2?
J2 is the issuance of another revocable permit, this one at the Honoko House Small Boat Harbor to Daryl and Lauren Fujimoto. They have a slip over there and they want to use the fast lands. And so that's what this revocable permit is for. They have a little shade structure that they want to use.
Remember, any questions? Mr. Smith.
I just want to make a statement. I just want to remind everybody that Honoka'a Boat Harbor is a strong economic driver for West Hawaii. Especially with all the fishing and other activities that occurred there. And I, especially with the heat and lack of wind in West Hawaii. I think, you know, whatever we can do to make our guests that visit our island and spend their hard-earned dollars to in the community, I think we need to support them, and I strongly support this shade structure that they're asking permission to construct. Thank you.
Board members.
I just like to comment on Riley's comment that I support and support.
Thank you. Until no public testimony, do I have a motion to approve staff submittal for J2?
Commissioner Smith, I move that we approve as recommended by staff, J2.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That is unanimous. Okay, J3.
Okay, J3 is the issuance of a revocable permit to Frank V. Coluccio Construction Company for the purpose of storing for an office trailer and equipment storage. This is the last little parcel in a piece of land that was EO'd to us from DOT. Our intention has always been to sell the lease at public auction. However, we've run into some problems with that, and so it's taking us longer than expected. So we'd like to issue an RP for the last vacant parcel to generate some income until we can go out to public auction on this.
Board members, any questions? No public testimony.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you very much, Richard. Have a good
thank
weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
And that concludes our meeting for today. Adjourned.
You hired, huh?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That was an easy one.
Congratulations / condolences.